Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Derek Hall is going to be on board today, Diamondbacks president and CEO. I think it's been about a year since we've had Derek on the show. It's nothing against Derek. It's just, it's clutch purse weekend. It's clutch purse weekend. Yeah, I'm shilling some, but, you know, when I said I want Derek on the show and it's clutch purse for Mother's Day, I figured, you know, why not? Does it match? Eric, what do you think? Is this a good look? You want you want to snag this for your bride?
No, she's a Dodger fan, so
really?
she wouldn't want that.
If Derek is watching right now, or Josh, or any of the Diamondbacks people, that means we're not getting him. But this is what they're giving away Sunday.
So. I speak in truth on this show. It's all factual.
Outside of TCU.
I speak in truth on the show. It's
how many
all
games
factual.
Is TCU going to win this year?
Oh, I don't know. It's too early to say.
Oh, but you're a big fan. 7? 10?
I'd say high-end 8.
High-end 8, wow. Yeah.
Schedule's tough.
So what happens when you graduate. Eric said TCU graduate. Derek Hall is going to be with us today. So the Diamondbacks, it's really interesting what's going on. They had a better April than I think people thought, and they're not having as good a May as I think people were believing at the start of the year. They did win last night, but 23 of their next 26 games are against teams with losing records, starting tonight with the Pirates. And you have Zach Greinke on the mound tonight, and we'll talk with Derek all about that. I think the big stories of the day, there's a couple of things that have caught my eye. Kobe Bryant is now part of the LeVar Ball story. So Kobe did an interview over in Los Angeles this morning. And in that interview, LeVar Ball did the interview on Kobe. LeVar Ball said, "I don't need no advice from Kobe Bryant. I don't need advice from Kobe Bryant. Zoe got to play his game." Okay. This was this morning. And this is LeVar Ball saying that, you know, Kobe does not need to be in Lonzo's life, essentially. Quoting more this morning from LeVar Ball. And I'm talking about this because the lottery's next Tuesday and the Suns may end up getting him with the draft in June. And you're trying to weigh all of this in. And now Kobe Bryant has become an interesting space in this conversation. More this morning from LeVar Ball. Quote, "If they're at practice and he sees something and Lonzo listens to him or whatever, he's good." I mean, LeVar's already talking like he is a Laker. Like Lonzo's going to be a Laker. Again, quote, "If they're at practice and he sees something and Lonzo listens to him or whatever, he's good. But it's just not okay. I'm talking to Kobe, so now I'm going to be good. If Kobe sees something that Zoe is doing, then go from there. But I'm not trying to pattern after nobody." Kobe Bryant has said that he is wanting to mentor younger players, that this all started with the pop star Michael Jackson. Yeah, so I went there just now. I've got Lonzo Ball back in November that I'm really excited about as a basketball player on the floor. Around December, it's, boy, if he comes out, the Suns got to get him. It's going to turn everything around. Everything's going to be great. And then LeVar Ball starts showing up around February, and LeVar Ball goes to the extreme of doing his shoe deal last week and saying MJ is not near where Lonzo is and all that stuff. To today, where now Kobe Bryant is in the mix, in the soup, to Michael Jackson is now in this story. I love this. How do you not love what's going on out in Los Angeles all around a guy that the Suns are going to have to sit there? A team that has just been putrid, that hasn't done anything for 7 years. 7 long, hard, hammer the rock years. And they may end up with the pick and have this guy that's got Kobe Bryant in one ear, who's doing this because Michael Jackson did it back in the day, to the dad over here selling $200 flip-flops and $495 shoes, to the dad who's saying he's better than this player or that player. Kobe Bryant told ESPN his desire to mentor younger players was spurred by pop star Michael Jackson, who told Kobe during a visit to Neverland Ranch to reach out to the greats in your profession and learn from them. Brian says, I'm around for all the guys. Anybody can reach out. It's an open book. Bryant says he talks regularly with Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Gordon Hayward. He's had many conversations with Boston Celtics star Isaiah Thomas, the last player taken in the draft, and oh, by the way, former Phoenix Sun. This is one of many current players who have reached out to Kobe for advice. If you are a Suns fan today, and now this is the next step of the conversation, you have the dad who is saying, essentially, Kobe needs to stay away from my kid unless it's basketball advice while he's at practice. Is this Kobe Bryant's way of forging a relationship and saying at some point, dude, you got to get rid of your dad? Eric, where are you at on this one? I think I'm of the opinion that having Kobe Bryant in your ear versus LeVar, but versus your dad, is a really good thing. It cannot be a bad thing.
I agree.
And the dad can see this as, okay, now we got trouble brewing. Here's somebody else who's stepping into my space who can say, what are you doing there with the dad? You need to listen to me. I've been there.
It's getting the point with LeVar Ball where if I hear it or see it, I do this.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. So basically, there was a time about a month and a half ago.
It's not that I don't care. It's just becoming the point I just don't care.
That was funny.
I just want it. I just.
You don't
I
want me to talk about it?
You know how. You know how it is.
Do you not want me to talk about it?
I'd prefer,
don't rehearse this show.
I'd prefer if you didn't, but.
Is this newsworthy
to
you?
But you're caught up in it, as is almost everybody
else.
It's
Kobe Bryant now.
Of course it's Kobe Bryant. It's going to be Magic Johnson, and it's going to be...
No. It can't be Magic because LeVar has already said he wants him to play for the Lakers.
But Magic Johnson will become part of the sub-story at some point. LeVar Ball is pulling every single big name he can into his wheelhouse of the news wheel. Think about it. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant. There's a theme here.
But this is the first time where it's, no, we're good. We don't need him.
And is that what? Should I be surprised by that? Of course not.
Well, I'm not surprised on one hand. On the other hand, has Kobe Bryant behind the scenes? It's hard for me to believe that he hasn't already reached out to Lonzo Ball in some way, shape, or form.
I hope he has. But
find that hard to believe.
And it's not that Kobe isn't without his warts, but when you're talking about as a player and a mentor on the floor,
sure,
and how to handle the rigors of being a young player coming into the NBA, Kobe was great.
I would take him on my team.
Sure.
I would take number eight. I love Kobe. Yeah. I think number 24.
The NBA needs villains, and few were bigger and better than Kobe Bryant if you were a Suns fan or any team outside the Lakers.
Lonzo Ball is going to be that figure. He's going to be like Danny Ainge and Kobe Bryant when he comes into the league because of LeVar. Do you agree on that one? He's going to be a villain immediately.
I do.
In every arena except the team that he's playing for.
And from the things that I've read and the things I've heard and the whispers about his game, it's not a sure thing that he's going to be a superstar.
He's got a bad shot, but Magic Johnson had a bad shot.
He doesn't play any defense.
I think he was hurt against Kentucky.
He got a little bit exposed in the tournament.
I think he was hurt against Kentucky.
Maybe.
So you wouldn't take him here?
I wouldn't say I wouldn't take him. I'm just saying.
Where are you at today on that?
I'm just saying it's not a slam dunk.
You speak truths. Where are you at today?
I guess you take him and you trade Eric Bledsoe. I like
Wow,
Bled.
You just sound really disappointed
well,
by this.
Well, I mean, I just
you
think.
You sound like, oh my gosh, settle for this guy.
Okay, what's the
It's a no-brainer. You take him
thing,
and trade
Brad,
Bledsoe.
What do you do? What do you do in the NBA? You sell high. And right now, Eric Bledsoe is about as high as you can get in terms of his selling value.
Correct.
Coming off a good season, injury-free, good numbers. And if Lonzo Ball is there, and if you think Lonzo Ball will not only change the direction of the franchise,
yes,
but
will.
Also put a bunch of interest into the Suns,
yes, he will.
Those two things the Phoenix Suns need right now. Because like you said, they haven't made the playoffs since when? 2010?
We have some breaking news.
Dun, 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 dun.
Arizona Cardinals have just released linebacker Darrell Washington.
And there it is.
The following is a statement from the team. After meeting with Darrell Washington, we have collectively decided it is best to release Darrell and give him the opportunity to continue his career elsewhere. That is very straightforward. Elsewhere. This is not go test the market and then bring it back to us. This is elsewhere. So Darryl Washington released by the Cardinals. After meeting with Darryl Washington, we have collectively decided it is best to release Darryl and give him the opportunity to continue his career elsewhere. That just in from the Cardinals. I am not disappointed by this. I am not surprised by this. I think there's just a lot of layers that are there. We spoke with Bruce Arians yesterday about this. I think for context sake, you should see this. This was Bruce and I. He's got his charity event coming up at Stake 44 next week, a week from Monday. This was yesterday, and just the back half of this answer, I think, sums it up. Darryl Washington, what can you say about that today?
Well, we had our first meeting, one of, I think, a few that we're going to have before anything is done. And Michael will make that final decision after we have, you know, the rest of the protocol that he set up for Darryl to go through. And we'll just see how it goes.
What do you want to hear on that one, Bruce?
You know, I have mixed emotions, but, you know, I just want what's best for the Cardinals.
Okay, that was the deal there with Bruce Arians. So Darryl Washington just released. We'll take a break, and we're back with Derek Hall after this timeout. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Appreciate their partnership day in and day out. Our television show on Fox Sports Arizona before and after the Diamondbacks game tonight against the Buccos with Zach Greinke on the mound. I had an interesting moment this morning, Eric. I was at a breakfast with one of the Diamondbacks head honchos, not the head honcho. He's going to join us here in a minute, Derek Hall. But Scott Geyer and I got together, and I've known Scott for a long, long time, director of broadcast and other things. So I knew Derek was coming on, and they are giving away this clutch purse, which I'm holding up right now. And here's Scott, and here's Brad.
Yeah, that's a nice look for you. It's
yeah,
a good color.
It matches my shirt, right?
It does.
Here's two 50, we should just say middle-aged men with kids and everything, and we're passing a clutch purse back and forth because Scott brought this into Snooze. It was very fashion statement. And then I walked out after I paid the bill. I paid the bill, but I told Scott I'm paying. I walked out holding my clutch purse, and I had these people over at the Scottsdale Quarter look at me like...
Yeah, nothing like a 6'8" man walking out of a restaurant holding a Diamondbacks clutch purse.
Clutch purse. Derek, I'm just a big fan, you know? It's it was a great moment.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? First off, I'm glad that you paid, because Scott would have definitely expensed that had you not. Secondly, I'm glad that you like the clutch purse. It's a great promo for this Sunday. My wife's excited to get one, and 10,000 moms are going to get it as well.
Well, now that I have this one, I could put it up on eBay, or I could give it to my wife or one of my daughters. I'm not quite sure. Or I could just keep it.
Give it to your wife.
Give it to my wife. That's good advice. Good sound advice.
Yeah.
We keep this thing going. Okay, so here we are at May 11th. Are you more surprised by your April or your May at this point of the season?
That's a great question. I think, Brad, a little while back, I would have told you I was surprised by our April, just because of the schedule, how tough it was for us to get off to a really good start. I was hoping we'd be close to 500, and there we were over 500. Then our May, not so good. You know, tough road trip. I think rather than 2-4, we could have easily been 4-2.
Yep.
So now the way we started out, the way we played for an entire month, I'm more surprised that we haven't continued our winning, but maybe got back on track with our big win against Detroit to split that series.
Because you're 13-6 at home, and I'm looking at your schedule, and 23 of the next 26 are against teams with a losing record. And I know it's a small sample size, but it's enough of a sample size to say there should be some success and bounce back here. What do you think's gone on in May?
Yeah, I think just, again, the toughness of the competition on the road. To have to go to Washington, it's not an easy place to play or win.
Right.
And then having to go to Colorado, you know, where anything can happen, and the Rockies have been so hot. So I think we're going to be just fine. I want to continue our winning ways at home, because last year that was a major problem. We couldn't win at Chase Field last year, so it's nice to see that turnaround and reversal. And I expect us to play much better on the road, especially as the competition lessens a little bit.
I'm talking with Derek Hall, and again on Sunday. Sunday is Mother's Day. And this clutch purse is going to be one of the items that, whenever I have you on, I could just hold up a clutch purse from here forward. I'll never forget this day with you and I. Greinke's throwing tonight, 33 strikeouts, 3 walks in his last 4 starts. What are you seeing out of him? What's the organization seeing out of him this year that wasn't quite there last year?
Well, he looks more like himself. He was obviously putting a lot of pressure on himself last year. I think he's commanding all of his pitches. Throwing strikes, that's the key for him, getting ahead in the count. And his slider has just been electric again, you know, his out pitch. And when you hear the competition say that, whether it was the Rockies saying, wow, he looks like Zach Greinke of old, he just wasn't himself last year, he'd be the first to tell you. I think the other difference is the fact that we brought in defensive-minded catchers who really know how to call games,
right.
who appreciate being behind the dish. They frame the pitches better. I just think it's been a real focus and priority to bring in three guys that can catch any of our pitchers and know that they have the confidence of each of our members of our starting rotation each and every game.
You know, the easy answer to this question is, of course, Brad, I believe in this team for where we are. But the straight question for me to you is, do you believe that in what is going on here can go for the rest of this season? 6 weeks in,
yeah.
But do you look at it and say, Brad, you know, I'm just not quite sure about this and this?
Yeah, I've got confidence in this team, but you have to stay healthy. You have to be, you have to have luck on your side as well. Big concern was losing Shelby Miller. You know, that's where health doesn't work to your, you know, on your side.
Right.
In addition to that, we have to play better defense. We just haven't played great defense this year, and that's really not who we are. We're an athletic team that does play defense, that runs the bases well, and that's what we need to get back to. So I think we definitely can if we continue to pitch the way that we are expected to pitch when it comes to our starters. I think our bullpen has been strengthened with some of the veteran arms like Hoover, Wilhelmsen,
yep.
You know, that have been brought in, Rodney, who has looked dynamic at times. And Archie Bradley, what a difference he's made in the bullpen. And we still have guys that are, you know, right now rehabbing in Ruby De La Rosa. And, you know, I think that's going to make a difference as well. I mean, this is a talented group. We just needed a better start than we've had this year. Last year we had bad luck, we had injuries, and we had a terrible start. And we could never recover, Brad.
The nice thing about Rodney is he keeps audiences glued, right? I mean, he keeps social media active. He keeps streams going up and up and up at the end of games as people stream games, watch games, however they consume it. He's not one for lack of drama.
No, he's a tightrope act, but that's who he's always been, and he's still got a fastball in the mid to upper 90s and a ridiculous changeup, and he does keep things loose in the clubhouse. He's a terrific teammate, and I've always heard that. You know, when you hear some people, oh, I don't like the way he wears his hat, I don't like all his antics, but when he's a teammate of yours, you love him, and, you know, you can't think of a better teammate because he cares for his guys, and he's going to go out there prepared and working hard each and every day.
Talking with Derek Hall, before I let you go, last time you and I spoke, I believe on the air was last March, and we had a long conversation about ballpark location. A lot has happened since then. I get asked about it whenever I'm out speaking. I'm just curious, what do you have in way of news or no news as to your stadium situation downtown in the future?
Sure. No, I think, you know, unfortunately, and maybe fortunately, you know, it's no news. I didn't like the fact that it was so public last year. I think it was a bit of a distraction, and the way we've played this year, I love all the focus being on the team. Fact of the matter, it still is what it is. I mean, we maintain the ballpark. We make it look as good as it does. We're proud of that, but, you know, it's an older stadium that's going to need some addressed needs or needs addressed, and these are needs that have been identified by the county, who is the landlord and owner of the building, and they've made it clear they don't have money to address all those needs in the future. So we just need to figure out how to make sure we continue to keep the stadium safe, as state-of-the-art as possible, and that's what we're trying to do now. So we'll eventually get to some sort of resolution, but until then, there's really no news, Brad, which may not be a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe a few, by the end of this year, next year, do you have any ideas on this? I'm just trying to get an idea as to when this will be resolved.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I really don't know. I would, anytime you're in a dispute and it becomes a litigated dispute as it is now, you hope there's a resolution sooner than later. I just don't know how long that's going to be, whether it's, you know, 3 months, 6 months, a year. I do know that we're the fourth oldest ballpark in the league, which is hard to believe. And, you know, obviously as your ballpark gets older, and we always want this to be the best ballpark for our fans, there's going to be a need to renovate, to upgrade, and there's going to be capital improvements that are needed. And we just need to make sure we have a landlord who can help us and hold up their end of the bargain.
All right. Well, in Mother's Day, it's more than just this clutch purse. This clutch purse is cool. I am going to score points with my wife if I decide to give
yes,
it to
you
her.
Yes, you are.
You've got other things going on, too, though, right? You've got moms out on the field. You've got a churro dog theme. I mean, you got Mother's Day Sunday. You should have a really good crowd, right?
I think we are. It looks very good. And yeah, you're right. We have our ceremonial first pitch. We're going to have like 30 moms out there throwing out the first pitch, including Archie Bradley's mom, who's a breast cancer survivor, as well as Taiwan Walker's mom, who's a breast cancer survivor. We're going to have mothers take the field with their kids. We're going to have mothers run the bases after
the
game.
Cool.
We do have a bunch of Mother's Day-themed food, as you mentioned, whether it's a Mother's Day churro dog, caramel apples, a French toast with berries and chopped bacon. You can't have French toast without bacon on top.
No, no.
Just, you know, so much going on for the moms. And $5 mimosas, Brad, not bad.
Well, can we sample those? I mean, just, you know, that's where I should have done this morning with Geyer. But look,
we should have had you and Geyer having mimosas holding up your foot.
That's it. That's it. No, we had a good conversation. So stay well. Appreciate the time. I'll see you soon. Stay well. See ya.
You got it, Brad. Thanks for having me.
You got it. There's Derek Hall, Diamondback President, CEO. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. If you're just joining us, Darryl Washington has been released by the Cardinals here about 10 minutes ago. Is this a big breaking news, stop the presses type of story? I don't think it is. Darryl Washington has just been hanging around. And we had Seth Joyner on a couple weeks back when he first got the reinstatement news. I don't know if the Cardinals are going to step up to a podium and say anything about why they went this way or if they're just going to do it. Well, that's actually this afternoon, right, Eric? They're introducing a couple of the rookies this afternoon. So, yeah, they're going to get asked about it this afternoon. Why'd you release Darryl Washington? And, I mean, really, if you look at the Cardinals this year, last year it was so much about we're going to be so great and we're going to do this and do that. And every team does that. Every team's going to get you all fired up. Vegas this year doesn't think the Cardinals are going to win 8 games. And I'm going to take the over on that. I think they're going to be better than that. But the expectation level is not nearly as high. There is, I think, around the valley, a level of, well, let's just see what they really have this year. They didn't do much last season, so on and so forth. Their quarterback's older. Larry's going to be out here soon. Get rid of distractions. You know, focus on trying to be a Super Bowl team in 2017. I don't think they are. Anybody who says they're the favorite to win the Super Bowl just is a season ticket holder who thinks great things are going to happen or is on the payroll at the Cardinals. Probably the latter. They're a team with a lot to prove, a lot that needs to be answered. And so a thing like Darryl Washington hanging around and you're out there for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Does he look any good? Does he not look any good? Was there really a push to bring him back within the locker room? Did they do anything football related with him, or was this just let's sit and go through every last layer of what's happening with Darryl Washington? Colin Kaepernick still doesn't have a job, but Blaine Gabbert does. I'm going to talk about that on the other side. And I do want to go back on the Lonzo Ball story, and Porzingis is back in the news today. His brother, who's an agent, weighs in on his situation in New York, and I think Suns fans will be interested in that too. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, a few other things here before we get to Goody Kuntz. Bill at the Movies. Bill's in West Texas, so that segment in like 10 minutes, I'm just warning you guys, if you like train wrecks, it could very well be a train wreck. He's driving somewhere and he's got 4 movies to review. That this could be really bad, which we like that. Train wrecks are fine. Our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, on before and after Diamondbacks and Pirates with Zach Greinke on the mound. That is tonight. Of course, we partner with AZ Central Sports. We appreciate their partnership. Okay, so let's go through a few things here. And I wrote about Blaine Gabbert this morning. People are on this. Well, it's very simple why the Cardinals didn't offer Colin Kaepernick. And I've had quite a few notes. Why didn't they go after Kaepernick? There are those that do not want Colin Kaepernick anywhere near an NFL team because of his stance towards the flag. He has no place of business. It's bad for business to not have him on the field. I think it's bad for business if you have somebody that can play and play well at a position of need, and he has not done anything illegally or immorally. Now, the immoral part is, he didn't stand at attention for the anthem, and my father and my brother and myself, we served our country, and because he disrespected the flag, it is bad for business. It's a distraction to bring somebody in to do that. And I would say, oh, really? The reason why people do fight and do serve, because I've talked with some of these people. Not every person in service agrees with this, but it's the freedom to express whether you want to stand or sit. Whether it was misguided or not, Colin Kaepernick did what he did. He had the right to do what he chose to do, and he played pretty darn well. If you look at the numbers of Colin Kaepernick, if we were just talking football on the field, Colin Kaepernick versus Blaine Gabbert, the numbers that Kaepernick put up last year on a really bad team were pretty good. So then it goes to the dollar side. It goes to the distraction side. It goes to everything. And I've already had people this morning comparing Kaepernick to Darrell Washington. Oh, it's going to be a distraction. Really? So there's not one team in the National Football League that feels like that he is not somebody that can help them out. And they're going to continue to roll through the retreads, or they're going to continue to roll through the guys that aren't nearly as good. And look at some of these quarterbacks that have jobs here. Geno Smith got a job here in the offseason. Blaine Gabbert, I think, is a tough competitor. I liked what Blaine Gabbert did up in San Francisco. Maybe that's just enough for you. There are some people that think that Carson Palmer does need competition and does need to be pushed, that he's got it too easy here in Arizona. And I would happen to agree with that. I think that happens in any space in pro sports. I think that happens in business sometimes. So, you know, to just dismiss Colin Kaepernick as, well, he didn't stand at attention, thus he shouldn't get a job in the NFL. Is there collusion going on with him? I mean, you guys tell me. Just look at what's going on in some of these guys that are being signed, and he hasn't been brought in. He hasn't been given a chance to try out. He hasn't done anything. And he used his right. And whether you disagree, and a lot of people disagree. Oh, yeah, there you go. You're being liberal again. I'm not saying what everybody wants to hear on this show. I am not that way. I'm saying what my belief system is, and my belief system is what he decided to do to express his right was his right. I think he was ill-advised to do so, but he decided to do it, and I respect it. I've had military people that have had people that have died in their family that said he had every right to do that. So the Cardinals bring in, you know, they bring in somebody that I don't know what Blaine Gabbert is here for. If he replaces Drew Stanton, it makes him a heartbeat away from Carson Palmer. You know, you're trying to light a fire under Drew Stanton. How many snaps has Drew Stanton taken in the last few years? You have Zach Dysart. Zach Dysart's not a factor in this. Do you have Trevor Knight as a free agent? I don't even think Trevor Knight's going to make the team, but I could be wrong on that. Hope he does. Don't wish anybody ill will. Colin Kaepernick had a quarterback rating of 90.7. He rushed for almost 500 yards. That's a different look than Carson Palmer. Am I right on that? He completed 59% of his passes in 12 games with a really bad team. Blaine Gabbert completed 68%, a little bit better. 5 picks, 6 touchdowns for Blaine Gabbert. Colin Kaepernick, 16 touchdowns, only 4 picks. If you wanted to have a different look at quarterback, you'd probably want to look at Colin Kaepernick. But it's pretty obvious what's going on. He's just not going to get a job for what he did last year at this point. Because owners are afraid of the backlash, and the backlash will be of fans, and fans will go to sponsors, and sponsors will go to teams, and it'll be bad PR. And at the end of the day, if you go 12-4 or 13-3, 14-2, and you make the playoffs and you have a long run, you're going to say, well, you know, Blaine Gabbert gives them a better chance to win than Colin Kaepernick. I mean, that was with a really bad team. 49ers are a really bad team. And then Michael Floyd is in the recycle business. He gets signed by the Vikings today. It just makes you sick on that one. Here he damages the Cardinals last season. He gets blown out here, and it wasn't handled right. It wasn't handled correctly. Yes, it was. The organization did the right thing. Then he goes to New England 7 days later, and you know, he's allowed to play. He's allowed to practice. Gets all the way to the Super Bowl as part of that whole deal. And New England says, I don't see this happening. This isn't working out. So now he goes over to Minnesota, and they're going to try to rehab him. Josh Gordon in the rehab business. Today, the NFL said, no, we're not going to reinstate Josh Gordon. Must be really bad with Josh Gordon if Michael Floyd is still bumping around. So Josh Gordon gets denied. Another wide receiver out there doing his thing. So there's some really interesting storylines around the NFL, and the Cardinals today are going to introduce some of their rookie class. Budda Baker from Washington, who I think is a terrific draft pick by the Cardinals. He'll be one of those. Who's it today, Eric? It's Budda Baker.
And the wide
Michael Williams.
I think it's Chad Williams.
Chad Williams, I mean.
From Grambling.
Yeah,
yep,
from Grambling.
Those two.
Yeah, those are the two today. And then tomorrow they're on the field for a little bit, doing their thing. And for the rookies. But I think moving on from Darrell Washington is fine. Blaine Gabbert isn't moving the needle for me. It's just a guy. Not a bad choice, but you know, just to see what's going on with Kaepernick. And there's this whole national uproar over Kaepernick not even getting an interview yet. So there's that. On the basketball side, I watched the Spurs last night. Just briefly here, I know the segment is short. I mean, I watched the Celtics last night. Spurs are tonight, and Kawhi Leonard's a game-time decision, guys. Game-time decision for Kawhi Leonard. The Spurs are trying to put away Houston, and that just sets them up to get shot down by Golden State. The only intrigue there is if Greg Popovich can somehow find a way, without Tony Parker, now with Kawhi Leonard hurt, to beat Houston and then go in and take down Golden State. There's a little bit of intrigue there. I'm not interested at all in Cleveland sitting around waiting for either Boston or Washington. Washington played like dogs last night, rolled over, scratched fleas. They weren't any good at all. Isaiah Thomas had 25 points in the first half. I don't know about you guys. But when I watch Isaiah Thomas play, I cannot help but think of the Suns giving up on another guy that could have really helped them. Like if Isaiah Thomas had stayed here, would they have been a playoff team this year? Was there like 10 more wins in them with just one guy? I don't think so. Isaiah was liberated once he got out of here. And now look at him. It's just drives you crazy with the guys that have come and gone here. And I mentioned Porzingis. I wanted to get into Porzingis, and I'll take a break. So Porzingis' brother works with a sports agency that represents Nick Porzingis, or Chris Porzingis. Chris wants to stay in New York. Quote, Chris wants to stay in New York. He feels at home. If he were traded, he'd play out his option, and then he'd leave as a free agent. The Knicks have lost 101 games in the last 2 years. There's a lot blowing around Porzingis, not happy with Jeff Hornacek. I'm not happy with Phil Jackson. And if I'm sitting here with the Suns and I don't get my lottery pick exactly where I want it to be, I would pick up the phone and call in a heartbeat.
If I was any NBA team, I would pick up the phone and call in a heartbeat.
Does it matter where the lottery pick is? If the Suns have the one, or
so.
If they have number one or number two, do you dangle that to
sure.
for Porzingis?
I told you yesterday, I'd trade any player on the Suns for Porzingis. Any pick.
Player,
doesn't
and
matter.
Pick, and pick.
Fine. Doesn't yeah. matter.
If they turn around and say, we want Bledsoe in the number one for Porzingis.
Done.
Really high price tag.
But he is an established, young superstar. He's not just a good player. He's an elite player.
You would trade the number one overall pick and Bledsoe.
Would I
you
would.
Would you trade the number one pick and Devin Booker?
That's a different story. I'd have to think about that. You put me on the spot. I mean, initially I would say no, but I could be talked into that.
I would not make that trade. I would not make that trade. I think that there's no way I would make that trade, in my opinion. You trade Devin Booker, you're opening up another hole, and he is a superstar, in my opinion.
But
he hasn't been a superstar yet because he plays in Phoenix, which has been an awful team.
But he's not Porzingis.
He's a different player, different position.
But Porzingis can affect the game at both ends of the court. Right now, Devin Booker is just an offensive player, and a very, very good one.
If you put Porzingis and Booker together,
oh.
right?
Now you're talking, yeah.
So
talk about cornerstone of the franchise.
So doesn't it make sense then to use this lottery pick, if it pops up in the right way? Doesn't it make sense? I'm serious here. Doesn't it make sense as a general manager, if you're Ryan McDonough and you have a top lottery pick, 1, 2, 3, 4, somewhere in that range, and Eric Bledsoe, you should pick up the phone and call and say Porzingis. But now his brother is saying if he gets traded, he's going to walk away. So again, you're rolling the dice to set this team back for years and years and years if that were to happen.
7 feet, 3 inches, 240 pounds. He's 21 years old.
He's Kevin Durant.
A star.
He's Kevin Durant. He sits around out on the wing and drills threes, puts the ball on the floor,
but
finishes.
I mean, he's 4 inches taller than Durant.
But it's those type of players don't come along.
No.
So you have to weigh that lottery pick. But that lottery pick on its own is not going to be enough. They're not going to take Brandon Knight. You know, you would have to trade an established player like Bledsoe, which I have said for 2 years here, get him out of here. I don't mean that in disrespect. I just don't want him here. His value is never going to be higher. The knee surgeries are not going to go away.
45% from the field, 35 on threes, 80 from the line, 7.2 rebounds, 18 points, 2 blocks a game. And he's 21 years old.
All right. We have Goody at the Movies next. We'll just step aside here. Bill Goody-Koontz, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central. That is next. We go through a whole bunch of movies, and this next segment could just blow up in our face, which we like. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, Darrell Washington no longer a Cardinal. Blaine Gabbert coming here, the Diamondbacks winning games last night, and now with Zach Greinke on the mound, they're going to win tonight. I just feel it. Much, much more. It's time to get over to the movies with Bill Goody-Koontz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. Goody at the movies every week, and Bill is not at a theater near you today. Where are you?
I am about 90 minutes east of El Paso.
Oh, God. Jeez, sorry. What do you see out there? Like, you saw the boot barns and all that? I mean, there's nothing there, right?
Right now, I see a little town and some kind of trailer home-looking places. You know what? You know what I just passed?
Apache Junction?
I just passed a business called Heritage that evidently makes cemetery markers.
Awesome. Awesome. That's a great.
They had their inventory out front in case, because there's nothing else here. So it's evidently in case you were like making this drive, you know, to your home or away from your home, and somebody dies. Evidently, you can pick up a headstone on the way home if you want to take care of everything all at one time.
Hey, honey, the battery died somewhere on I-10, and we're not going to make it. So I'll go get the headstone. You know.
Yeah, let's get the headstone.
We'll make it work. So just for full disclosure, you're going down to see your daughter, I'm assuming. So
I'm bringing her home.
There you go. That's good stuff. Okay, there's some movies here. Let's start with Snatched with Amy Schumer, and based off of the headline of your story, this, if you were to talk about the worst movies, okay, we're all on the list, Bill. You know that. Top five list. This would have to be one of the worst movies of the year?
Definitely one of the worst of the year.
All right.
It's too bad because Amy Schumer is really funny, and I like her a lot, and I really liked Train Wreck a lot. And I think, as I said in my review, I did not think that the title of that movie would be the best description of this movie. It's horrible. And they brought good old Goldie Hawn, hadn't made a movie since 2002. And she's really funny. She's really talented. And she gets to do nothing, and you know, like, except, you know, be good in the little bit that she's in. But it's just one of those movies that, I mean, they go, Amy Schumer plays sort of the same kind of character she was in Trainwreck, where she's very selfish. She was going to go on this trip to South America with her boyfriend, and he dumps her. That part's actually pretty funny. And Goldie Hawn plays her mother, who's sort of a cat lady, shut-in type. And they go, and they get kidnapped, and they escape. And then supposed to be funny, and it's not.
Do you sit in movies that are really bad, and when people do laugh and it's not funny at all, do you just look around and be like, how does this happen? You know, I don't mean to be judgmental, but what is it that pushes somebody's funny bone? What's funny to one person is just dumb to another. And when you have a movie that's this bad, I mean, you really despise this movie, Bill. I can just hear it in your voice.
Well, I do, and I think it's too bad because there's a lot of talent here, but they I mean, there's no accounting for taste, but they, and I laugh some. I mean, there's some funny parts to it. I mean, you know, you may.
We lost Bill. He's out in the middle of nowhere in Texas somewhere. Nice try. I think that's going to be Goody at the Movies. Let's see if we can find him, get him back here. I've got three other movies to get to. Goody at the Movies every week. This week, Bill on the road being a good dad, going and picking up his daughter from college. He joins us every week on Thursdays on the show, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. One of the other movies that Bill sent over that he wants to talk about is Chuck, which is a movie that I saw with Liev Schreiber. And I thought it was actually pretty good. It gives you the backstory of Sylvester Stallone and all that. Bill is back with us. Let's move on from Snatched to Chuck. I saw this. I actually went and interviewed Liev Schreiber out in L.A. about it. I actually kind of liked this movie. I wouldn't say I loved it. Where are you at on Chuck?
I thought it was good. Obviously, you've probably been talking about this. The heavyweight division at one time in boxing was so big that not only did you have, of course, Ali and Frazier and Foreman and Norton and all those guys, but you kind of knew some of the opponents, you know, some of the challengers. And Chuck Webner was, you know, one of those guys, you know, Jerry Corey and people like that. But Webner actually almost went 15 rounds with Ali. And may or may not, depending on who you ask, have been part of the inspiration for Sylvester Stallone to write Rocky. I think Webner would give you a different answer than Stallone would. But the
really?
Yeah, in real life, Webner sued him and they settled out of court. It's not a great movie, but it's got all these sort of sports cliches. But the thing that forgives it, three things forgive it. One is the cliches in this case are kind of true. I mean, Webner really was this sort of ultimate tomato can, you know, that, you know, the Bayonne bleeder who just went out there and you could hit him in the head with a 2x4 and he'd just stand there. And which is basically what Ali played with him too much. But then when he still really started hitting him, he still couldn't knock him down. But he knocked Ali down, which he lived the rest of his life off of that. That is every free drink that Chuck Webner got for the rest of his life was knocking Ali down. I think Liev Schreiber is really good in it as mm-hmm. Webner. I think he's a good actor. He's an underrated actor, good guy, seems like. But it's also, I think one of the smart things they do is it's not just a sports movie. It's kind of a 70s period piece.
Yep.
And you can tell that all the actors really have fun with, Schreiber's ex-girlfriend, Naomi Watts, is in it. And the great from Mad Men is in it. You can tell they're having a lot of fun with the clothes and the wigs and the disco music and stuff. You know, there's a scene where Webner, played by Schreiber, comes walking down the stairs of the disco while his music is playing, blowing a whistle.
Yep.
It's one of the most bizarre scenes that I've seen in a long time.
And it's not Chuck the TV series, because I've had some people that have asked me about that. I saw it. I went out and did something with Schreiber. I thought he was engaging. He was wanting to talk more about his kids club basketball team than the movie itself. So
I talked to him. He's a good enough interviewer.
Yeah.
But he's like a lot of those actors. He's better on screen than he is in an interview. You know?
That's true.
But that's because he's really good on screen. But he's certainly friendly, and he's trained as a boxer. He's never really boxed, but but he can speak. And I guess he told me he went to a fight with Webner and Webner's wife. And it's like, you know, what must that be like? And he said it's great because the guy's stories are just unbelievable.
Right. I'll let you go off that out in the middle of nowhere. Safe travels. I appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
See you later. This is Bill Gutekunst. Good to eat the movies. Somewhere in East or West Texas. West Texas. I think that's about it. Tonight, you've got Greinke on the mound tonight. Kawhi Leonard's a game-time decision. Spurs at Houston. 3-2 San Antonio in that. I put on my Twitter feed a very, very good read. Long read. Bathroom sit-down read, guys. I'm being graphic here. Of Mike D'Antoni and his wife, Laurel. It's a terrific read. It's up on my Twitter that ESPN, the magazine, did today. For those of us that remember Mike here in the Valley and what happened here with Phoenix, he gets into that a little bit and how he got away from himself when they added Shaq. I think that's more ownership got in the way on that one, but that's just me. You can check that out. Plenty of content up on our website, sports360az.com. Jared Nielsen is the Iron Man chairman of the board. Edwin Rodriguez is starting to get the Iron Man itch a little bit. He assisted today, and Eric, as always, produces. I'm Brad Sussmat. Enjoy your Thursday.